All right, installment 3 of the Chatting with Chatterbox podcast. Number 3 is going to be called Taking Care of Business, because we are now on Apple Podcasts, among many other wavelengths, you know, a lot of different types of podcasting you can get into. I haven't figured out Spotify yet, but we're broadcasting on a lot of the different ones, so shout out Anchor for getting us put on all these other things. We're getting there. A lot of exciting things to talk about today, a lot of exciting things to do in the future. I'm working on getting some guests. A lot of times, maybe if you follow my personal account, you'll see me shooting some shots at some of the big names. I'm a shooter. I mean, hey, I'm not out here trying to mince no feelings, not trying to mince no words. I'm trying to get you on the pod. Quandre Diggs, he's liking my tweets about it. He's there. We need him.
Vince Young.
I got a like from Vince Young today. That's my childhood hero. You might hear that voice in the background, you know, around me. This is Rob. Welcome back, Rob, again. He's just a fixture now. He's not a guest. I'm not calling him a guest anymore. He's a fixture. Welcome to the Chatting with Chatterbox. Co-starring Rob? I don't know. This is my name title. This is my gig, but God damn it, he's here. He's a part of the gig. So, you know, we said we wanted to get into more of the other sports. We haven't really done so yet, so let's do that. We'll start there. Big soccer news. The men stink.
Yes.
Our U.S. national team stinks. You know, we got to the Gold Cup, is it? Oh, gosh.
The World Cup, man.
The World Cup, yeah, World Cup. And against Mexico. Arch rival, didn't score a goal. No fun there. How do you go all that way and not score a goal? But, hey, the men, nice shot. Give it again. Give it again. But the women, this is where we really want to talk about. The women, I mean, stand up and salute for the women of, you know, the United States soccer, because they are doing big things. Really excited about what they do for us. And they're not compensated fairly. I know that's a big thing, and a lot of people are now talking about, do they get this money, or should they be paid more than the men for playing better, even though there's not exactly the revenue that they generate? Well, they're better. I think they should get paid for the wins.
I say pay them. I don't know how much truth is behind this, but I heard that they actually outsold in merchandise more than the men's. I don't know how much truth there is behind that, but I definitely heard about that, and I think they should be compensated for that.
I mean, not just the merch. I mean, the general feel, like, they are
the men's team is an embarrassment, honestly.
Makes me sick.
Yep.
Makes me sick. And I'm not a soccer guy.
Neither am I.
This is me being a hashtag soccer guy. Fuck the men this year. I mean, come on, man. Like, give us something to be proud about. But that's not to say, like, okay, I understand it's hard to be good at everything. But we're America. We should be a powerhouse in a lot of things, I think. But the women, we're really proud of you. We got to pay the women more than the men. If you're winning more, get paid more. Just like in anything. Like, if we're a salesman, I mean, you know, I sold more tractors than Rob, but I'm a lady, so I don't get it. It's ridiculous. We need equal pay, equal compensation. It's 2019. Let's get on board. Anything else on soccer?
That's pretty much all I got on soccer. I know I'm not a big fan, but, you know.
That's as much about equality, because I'm genuinely a little upset about just, like, the equality aspect of it. So, like, it's a soccer, it's an equality thing. We got to get that on control. Another lesser touchdown thing that we will absolutely get into more, because watching playoff hockey was badass. It's so intense. Those guys fly around the ice, and you get near overtime. Oh, I mean, I enjoyed it.
I can't say I've watched too much of it, unless it's, you know, the Red Wings. I mean, I'll watch when it's the Red Wings, but, you know, they're kind of down right now. But we're looking up.
Yeah, things are looking up. With the return of probably the best player that we've ever had for the franchise, and now he's going to right the ship. We're talking Stevie Y. Steve Yzerman, he's going to run the program. He's going to oversee it all. He's going to make all the decisions, which is really the first big move Detroit hockey's made in a while.
I feel like it's kind of like a feel of when LeBron came back to Cleveland. Even though I like I said, I don't watch hockey, but when I saw that Steve Yzerman was coming back, he kind of felt like, you know what, he's coming home to fix the program, might win us a couple championships, who knows.
Yeah,
but it feels like he's coming home back to us, so it's kind of like the hockey version of LeBron.
I'm just hoping he throws some, you know, rubs his hands in some chalk before every game and throws it from the press box looking down at LCA, you know. But it's just like I was kind of talking to Rob in our little pre-pod meeting. I feel like with the Ilitch family, you know, Mr. Ilitch passing away, leaving the franchises, the Tigers and the Red Wings, to his family, they've shown no interest in investing in the Tigers. So I think really, I mean, the Lions and the Pistons operate through Mr. Gorris and the Ford. So those guys are on their own timeline. But with this, I think you're primed to see the Red Wings get going a lot faster than you will the Tigers, just because they seem to have more incentive to pay and to put these guys in the right position. So Detroit, I mean, on the up and up with that, I mean, we're obviously optimists with all the sports, but I think with hockey, you know, you got the right guy in place now.
Yeah.
Veering away from Detroit and some pretty big hockey news, PK Subban, like, he got moved to New Jersey. He's a Devil now. What do you have to do outside? Because he's done everything. He performs on the ice. He's one of the best players in hockey. He sets up hospitals and tons of charitable organizations everywhere he goes. Why is he getting traded?
I don't know. Well, this is the second time he's been traded.
I know, from Montreal.
He was with Montreal to Nashville, which that kind of raised some eyebrows there because of all the off-the-ice things that he did in Montreal. And now he goes to Nashville and basically starts doing the same thing, and now he's going to New Jersey, which, I mean, maybe there's some hospitals that need built in New Jersey. Maybe that's why they traded for him. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if they need to do some things to, you know, right the community, he's the guy to do it. So great guy, great hockey player. You love to see New Jersey get a great guy, but you hate to see this dude not stick when he's doing so much. But hey, all the best to him, and we'll see what he can do in New Jersey and moving forward. And good luck, because I think now, I mean, outside of Detroit, I think that just gives me every reason to root for New Jersey for the year. So book it, 2020, New Jersey, that's your champ. So that's pretty well where we're going for hockey. But MLB now, there's a few things. The trademark is heating up. We're going to get into some trades. But first thing that I really want to touch on, with two more home runs today, Bo Bichette is a minor league shortstop locked into AAA for the Toronto Blue Jays. The Toronto Blue Jays is where my big-time baseball rooting interest lies. And this is a frustrating thing. He hits two more home runs today. The kid's been in the minors for several years, and he's just showing time and time again that he needs to be brought up. And it's not just with Bo, it's with a lot of these players who you see with, like, Vlad Jr. earlier in the year and, you know, the Chris Bryants a few years ago. The service time in Major League Baseball where they can capsize these guys' ability to leave their team a little sooner by holding them in the minors, it just feels like bullshit, because these guys are ready to produce, and Bo would fall into a premier prospect category of, like a Vlad, like a Chris Bryant, Ronald Acuna, Fernando Tatis, and it's like, wow, if these guys are producing, why not give him the chance to do so, you know?
Well, I guess not only is it, I guess you extend the contract longer, like the Chris Bryant thing where they didn't bump him up until like 2 weeks after the season starts so that they get an extra year on his contract. But now at this point with Bo, that you're all the way in July now, coming up to August, it would make more sense to bring him up now. But another thing that I would say they're kind of worried about, which they shouldn't be with Bo, really, but what some teams could be worried about is having a young kid like that come up to the majors and just getting destroyed and then just having his confidence shot so far down that he doesn't recover. But I don't see that with Bo, but I'm just saying, like, maybe they other teams can think that with other prospects that they have.
But at what point does it become less this prospect needs to have the confidence and just, like, sink or swim? Like, show us what you got. Because, like, in the NFL, if you got it, you go. In baseball, if you don't. I mean, how many times have we seen a prospect come up, be terrible, go down, come back? I mean, like, that's just not really a precedented situation. I really think that these guys need to be given a better chance. I think that it's ridiculous how organizations can just stunt their growth. Yeah. Like, you can be this great at any level, but you're not going to come up to play.
Well, I kind of felt a little bit like this last year because, of course, we had Victor Reyes on the Tigers.
Right.
He was the Rule 5 pick, so he had to be on the Major League roster the whole year in order for us to keep him. And so to start him out this year, we sent him back down to the minors. And when he was up in the majors last year, he barely produced anything. And then once spring training came around and he was in AAA at the start of the season, he still wasn't getting it back together. So that's what I was sort of afraid of with him, is that he lost his confidence up in the majors. And so he just doesn't feel that confident down in the minors. But then he just went on a tear last month in AAA, and now he's up in the majors and he's continuing that tear. And I honestly don't hope that they send him back down when Jacoby comes back. But
right. And I don't know. I just feel like maybe there's a medium between, you know, let him learn at that pace, and also there's a certain precedent where we can't keep this level of success down. But, I mean, maybe in the next CBA. But for right now, just shout out Bo Bichette. Way to keep patient. Way to keep playing while you're waiting.
Sick flow, by the way.
Sick flow, man. You, God damn it. Don't ever get your fucking hair cut. You look great, babe. Now into some trade talk. We're heating up. There is no late trade deadline this year in August, so or September, so no, August.
August.
So all the trades are going to take place at the July 31st.
2 weeks from today.
Yep, 2 weeks from today is going to be the trade deadline. So things are really going to ramp up here. So this the theme of the trade market this year is pitching. I mean, yeah. It's all pitching. You don't see a lot of big time bats. I mean, you will see bats moved, but the pitching. So with me, this Toronto Blue Jays bias here, I want to touch on one thing, and then I'll let Rob go wild on the rest of the league. Marcus Stroman should not be traded from the Toronto Blue Jays because their young bats are on the way. Marcus is a young starter who's controllable, who loves Toronto. I don't know what more a guy has to do. He tells you he loves the area. He shows you with his performance. I mean, the guy's an all-star, for God's sakes. He wants to re-sign there. Why would you make that move? But this is just my plea. This is a part of the segment where it's hands and knees. You know, come on, Toronto. Fucking extend the guy. Don't trade him. But, I mean, if you do, you better get a haul. Because if not, you're going to piss off everybody in Toronto and all the Jays fans statewide, you know, stateside. I don't get it. I don't get why teams are such a hurry to move promising young players, especially with the Blue Jays when your hitters are maturing to a point. Just please, Stro, stay. Please, Stro, stay.
I think what the Blue Jays are thinking is maybe trade him now while his value is so high because he's a young, controllable pitcher and you basically know what you're getting out of him. And so you hope that there's not this bust.
Like a crash and burn.
Yeah. And yeah, so but trade him now while he's young and maybe you can get a bunch out of him in minor league players.
Yeah, but maybe. But then a prospect's just a prospect. That's the thing. Like, you might hit it big, but also you might fuck the dog. Yeah. Like, you have to. I don't know. He's young. He's controllable. He loves the city. I don't know. Some other names, we got a few that Rob's going to touch on. One that's a kind of a shocker, like if he gets moved, that I want to talk about is Luis Castillo for the Reds. If he gets moved, oh shit, it's going to take everything in your system to get him, but he's a Cy Young candidate, real good. I don't think he's going to move, so I'm not even going to like speculate where he might go, but Rob, go ahead and get a few more.
I know that one name that got brought up, it's probably the biggest name out there that's been rumored, is Noah Syndergaard.
Thor.
I don't think he's going anywhere simply because the Mets, when was last time the Mets were sellers? The Mets are always buyers. They will always be buyers as long as they're in New York. Yeah, and
always fuck it up.
We traded Cespedes to them.
For the rest of us.
Yeah, Cespedes for the rest of us. We traded
the foam dog. Yeah. Yeah, we got the plumber for him.
Yeah, we got
foamer. Rip that UCL. Ugh. Literally.
That's to be determined.
No, that fucker's ripped to literally. He's coming back, but geez.
But, we trade Cespedes to them. The Mets are always going to be buyers. They're never going to be sellers. And you saw that in the offseason trading for Cano and Diaz. But I don't see them trading Thor at all. There was rumors that the Padres were interested, and they have a loaded, loaded farm system. And the Mets might be interested in that, but I don't see Thor going anywhere. Matt Boyd for the Tigers.
Yep.
I believe he's 100% sure gone.
Which just, is kind of sad.
Yeah, it is kind of sad, but I'm happy because I know that right now we're terrible, so we got to aim for the future like crazy.
See, this, I can stomach a Boyd trade for the Tigers because they have pitching coming up. With the Blue Jays, it's like you trade Stroman, you have Nate Pearson coming up, Sean Reed Foley, TJ Zouk. But, I mean, the Tigers have, you know, a plethora. So, yeah, you have other holes to fill. The Jays have those hitter holes filled.
Yeah.
So, like, for the Tigers, I can make sense of it. For the Jays, it's bothersome.
Yeah.
But, I mean, okay, now moving on as well.
Yeah. I think Boyd, a lot of teams, pretty much any contenders interested in him. I just want him to go someplace that has a good farm system.
Yeah, and he's striking out the world, man.
Yeah, he is still allowing some long balls.
He's striking out the world. Let's keep this positive. Let's keep the value
high. Yes, yes. I will say he is striking out a ton. But I'd kind of like to see the long ball go down.
Okay, but in the year of the juice ball, everything goes out.
It's not juice balls. They're all aliens.
Area 51.
I'm confident.
For
those who don't know, there's a baseball field on Area 51. So I'm fully convinced that we have aliens in Major League Baseball that are hitting these homers.
If Marcus Stroman doesn't get traded, I will send Rob to Area 51 to be a part of the storming as tribute, just so.
You might not even have to do that. I might do it myself. I don't know.
That's exciting times. Exciting times. We're going to get that. Oh, my goodness. Don't fucking storm Area 51. You're going to die. Come on. Ugh. Anyways.
Another Tigers name that's up for trade is Shane Green. I'm just going to throw this out there. Shane Green, I believe he might be a free agent after this year.
I think he has one more year team control. I know Boyd has a ton, but Green might be a free agent.
But with Green, I'm just going to throw this out there. I think it was last year. The Indians traded away their top prospect, Francisco Mejia,
to the Padres for Brad Hand.
Which Brad Hand...
He was an all-star. He was an all-star.
Well, so Shane Green...
Right, so...
And Shane Green also has the lowest ERA in Major League Baseball. That is fact. Lowest ERA.
Okay, but I'd like to see the BABIP and the FIP. I'd like to see that stuff.
Regardless, I mean, ERA, very, very low.
Probably due for some regression. But still, obviously, the guy's worth something in a market. And it is a seller's market because there's not a lot of pitching. And the Tigers hold two... I mean, for as poor as the Tigers are, they hold two really nice chips to
and
do
what's
so.
Really going to help us is the single trade deadline.
Yeah, you better get in or get out. So, yes. So there's going to be, I think you're going to want to sell early with that deadline because teams are going to realize, hey, either these are the pieces we want or the pieces we don't. So maximize the value while you can. The trade deadline is going to be wild. Baseball gets really fun around that time because you find out which teams decide, hey, we're in this or hey, we're out. I mean, let's just hope, fingers crossed, you can take Justin Smoke. You can take, I don't care what else you take off the Jays. Just leave me Vlad, leave me Bo, and leave me Stroh. Like, these guys got to have it. The Tigers, they're selling it all. So, like, if you thought the first half of the season was bad, wait till you get to the second half. Oh, it's going to be bad. But
just you know what? I'm excited for the second half because maybe they'll bump up some prospects from the minors.
Yeah, they'll still suck.
I mean, they'll probably suck, but at least they'll give me something to watch.
Right, a little more exciting. I think baseball is an exciting time of year after the trade deadline because you see the younger guys and you see the teams put the chips on the table. They're getting excited. So baseball, getting fun. You're going to have a good time. NFL news. Madden. Madden came out here. You know, they released their ratings, and it pissed off a lot of the players. Yeah. So I have a few little issues with that. If every player is rated super good...
Then what's the point?
Then what's the point of the game? Like, there is no good ratings without the bad ratings. Like, if you're going to be, you got to take the good with the bad.
And, I mean, there are some that were rated pretty
well. Yeah, there's some obvious snubs. Like, okay, Matthew Stafford being rated a 79 is garbage.
And Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson is garbage. Like, there are a few that are just, like, super problematic. But, like, it's the guys who are... You know, like the rookies getting pissed being in the mid-70s or like the fourth-year guy who's a special teamer is like, man, my fucking throw power is – it's like, come on, dude. Like, you're picking – like, you're trying to find a needle in a haystack with things that are wrong, so just, like, chill out. But with this big Madden rating uproar, we decided to pick out for Rob and I – we should have done the low ratings too, but we're a positive podcast here. So we're going to do – our in real life 99 overall rating and our Madden overall 99 rating. So my in real life 99 rating that I've given myself is that I have self-control out the ass. I can wake up early. I can decide, like, I'm not going to do this. Like, once I put my mind to something, it's done. Like, I have control over myself. Like, that's, and it's a lame one, but it's just something I can really do.
Mine is... Fair warning, I work at a Husqvarna dealership.
Ooh.
And it's also a gun store. When I first started there, I knew nothing about either Husqvarna products, lawnmowers, chainsaws, anything, or pretty much anything about guns, really. And still, 5 years later, that is still true. I still don't know crap. And so,
I am oblivious.
Yes. What I would say my in real life 99 rating would be is I'm a BSer.
From way back.
Yeah, I could probably, I'll know some facts about some things, but I'll just kind of BS it towards somebody, maybe sell some things, and I think I got pretty good at it. But yeah, that's my in real life 99 rating.
All right, now heading over to Madden. So we were both, you know, ex-football stars, and you know, everybody has the back in my day. Well, back in our day, this is where we were excel. I mean, we were the guys. So me, I am all of 5'8". I am 155 pounds, 160 soaking wet. That's what I played at in high school at my senior year. I still managed to finish top 10 in the state in tackles, Division 7. I mean, hey, rise up. Rise up, you know. But I finished top 10 in tackles. So with no speed and not much strength, I gave myself a 99 awareness. If I was in Madden, I'd be an aware motherfucker because I'm finding the ball, play recognition. It's up there.
You pretty much decided mine.
I had to decide this.
I went a different route. But you decide with throw power.
I'm going to take over here too. Rob's throw power is through the roof. Playing catch with Rob is like bruising your hands to the max. This son of a bitch can whip it. He's accurate too. Fine. No one cares about accurate. Chicks dig the long ball. This dude can launch it. Patty Mahomes, nothing on this guy. Patrick Mahomes, with his right hand, can't throw it as hard as Rob can with his left hand.
I don't know about that.
Patty Matt, I don't know, man. I'm just saying.
But, yeah, I kind of was thinking the accuracy route. But I guess, yeah, chicks dig the long ball, I guess.
Yep, they do. Other NFL news, camp opens up this week. We're excited for that. Some of the top storylines coming out. Rob, go ahead.
I'm excited for the Lions' new offense with their new offensive coordinator. Because last year, my God, it was so, so bad that it was three and outs, one after the other, and it was just so predictable, and I got tired of watching it. At the end of the season, you can attest to this, I was rooting for them to lose so that we can get a better draft
pick. Which is garbage. I could not stand that.
I was trying to, and then how do we beat, I was trying so hard to actually lose to the Cardinals, and we actually beat them, and I was very upset. But
Jesus
anyways,
was in the stadium that day. Jesus is a Lions fan. Jesus knows that we had to have a minor setback for a major comeback because that gave us the ability to draft TJ Hockenson.
Cuss this Josh Allen.
Anyways.
But, yeah, I'm excited to see the Lions' new offense. Since the first podcast that we did, TJ Hockenson's grown even more on me.
Kid's going to be a stud.
I'm excited to see what they can do.
My camp storylines is holdouts. I think that you're hearing news with Melvin Gordon possibly holding out, Ezekiel Elliott possibly holding out, these new deals. It's just so fascinating to me that you can, in a world where like normal people are expected to go to work, if I were to show up to my job and say, I'm not playing for what I agreed to, or I'm not going to work for what I agreed to, and I'm not showing up, they'd just tell me to get fucked. And it's so funny. And, like, these guys are worth the money they want. Don't get me wrong, but it's just not showing up. Like, it's a dangerous precedent.
But it's also for them the fact that their contract is up. You and I don't sign contracts that's going to end in
true.
March.
True. Okay, that's fair.
Their contracts end in March, and so they don't know what their future looks like. So they could potentially get injured in the final year of the contract and just – blow their chances at signing
But you and I have to go to work every day. We're not guaranteed money. Like, if I don't show up to work tomorrow, I'm not getting paid for work tomorrow. They have guaranteed money. So, like, it's a two-way street, but just interesting. I'm just excited to see how it plays out. Melvin Gordon, if he's traded, I'd like to see him go to Houston. Ezekiel Elliott, I think you're going to see the Brinks truck back up and fall on him. Jerry Jones may literally blow his load on Ezekiel Elliott. Like, that dude, like, he is Dallas football, so.
But if you pay Zeke, can you pay Dak?
Don't pay Dak, A, because he's garbage.
There
it is. Okay, wait, there's our third enemy of the podcast. Yeah. Dak Prescott, garbage.
I agree with that. I don't like Dak.
I know you have to pay the quarterback position, but he is not great.
It's just that in my eyes, Dak isn't that great, but in Jerry Jones' eyes.
Yeah, oh, apple of my eye.
Oh, God.
You are my cupcake, or what is it? Yeah, whatever it is, he's going to pay him, so. There's your NFL. I have a quick note on NBA. In our last podcast, I referenced, if you want to be the very best, like no one ever was, to catch them is hard. No, but seriously, here's the thing. If you want to be NBA royalty, draft the goofiest fucking name. In the Pistons, we went out, we did the damn thing. Sekou, we gotcha. That's all I'm going to say about the NBA. That's all we care about. And a little gear shift, you know, a little bit of a transition. Easy transition, easy segue into movies, because we know we love our movies at this podcast. We have a little bit of a list game. We usually like to play list games. We ran on a little long last time, so here we're going to condense it. We're just going to give you a combined list of things. I'll let Rob handle snacks, because I recently went on this huge diet. It's garbage. And then I went keto recently, so I can't really attest to movie snacks anymore. But I did have a hand in picking these. These are our top three movie snacks. You can't beat it.
Well, number one should be pretty easy for everybody. If number one isn't popcorn for you...
Go fuck yourself.
Yes.
Like, that's popcorn. You're eating popcorn at the movies.
And prices are stupid, but I can't honestly tell you last time I had popcorn in a theater.
I know. Like, if you're not eating
popcorn... I'm not paying $20 for a large popcorn.
AMC Theaters... Hit us up with a brand sponsorship. I'll eat all the popcorn. I'll eat the popcorn off the ground and, you know, just sell it to me for cheap. You know, give me a little, you know, little brand.
Number two, we have Reese's Pieces, which honestly, that's probably my number one that wouldn't be a movie snack. If we were just going based off candies, Reese's Pieces is my number one.
Classic. I mean, classic.
But yeah, we have that number two for movie snacks. Number three, we got snow caps.
I had a hand in this one. Even my keto ass, I am never going to have snow caps for a long while here, but snow caps are like a nostalgic thing for me. Like that, I feel like that's the first thing I ever... I think Shrek was my first ever in-theater movie, and I remember mowing down on snow caps watching Shrek. And that was euphoric, and I was like 10.
That's kind of how I feel with Reese's Pieces. I want to say one of the first movies I went to. I can't remember what it was, but I remember eating the Reese's Pieces.
Yeah, though. It's not even the movie. It's the nostalgia of the candy. I mean, so that's... That's there. But and another top three we got here is the movie ruiners, things that just piss you off in the movie theater. This isn't even so much like a top three, but we're going to rifle off a few. One, if you're a big laugher, oh my God, you get like a 10-second grace period. Don't drone on with your laugh. Like, contain yourself. Shit ain't that funny. We're adults.
Oh, God.
Spoilers, if you're outside the movie theater, I'm going to whoop that ass if you spoil me the movie.
Yeah.
Crying babies, as with anything, if you bring a baby to an event, come on, get a babysitter, grow up.
Speaking about crying and kind of like how we were talking about the laughing in the theater, like that guy that was crying when we were watching Endgame.
Oh boy,
dude was legit crying, and like a loud cry.
And I get it, be passionate about stuff, but man, ugh, God. It just makes me cringe.
And he was one of the guys that was doing the loud laughing during the movie too. And then, all of a sudden, I look over. Well, I hear that noise over there of somebody like, is somebody crying over there? And I look over and the guy's like moaning over there. Like, come on, get a grip.
It's a sensual experience. Like, God dang, man. Just like people have no self-awareness. It's so funny. I really get more of a kick out of like, I was like the people watching thing. But I'm trying to enjoy the movie. I don't get it with people sometimes, man. I really don't. Anyways, that's how like our movie experience goes. Some exciting movie stuff coming up. We got Hobbs and Shaw coming out, which is big because it plays into my Polynesian affinity. I have, like, if you're a football player who's Polynesian, baseball player who's Polynesian, I'm instantly more likely to like you. Like, Ty Vai for the Lions, Palomalu, Vita Vea, Danny Shelton. Like, all these guys are cool for me. But, like, this movie being set in Hawaii with The Rock and the modernization stuff, this could be really cool. So that's, like, one of the big movies that's coming out. You got The Lion King coming out. Just some things to keep an eye out for that we'll probably be doing a little bit of reviews for when they come out. Just really excited for these movies among many other movies because we love it. Jack Black, I love you. there's my shout-out for a movie star. A serious note, a little turn for a serious note here. We said that we wanted to talk about some things in this podcast that were more than sports and movies, and we're definitely going to do so. And one thing that is big to talk about for Rob and I both, because we're impacted on a daily basis, is mental health. I am a severely anxious person, so daily tasks for me can be just really problematic in a lot of sense, if for a multitude of reasons. And I expressed to Rob one day, we were out on the golf course just trying to talk to him about it a little bit, and he then voiced to me the same sentiment that he struggles with a lot of the same things. And we both kind of concurred that it's important for us to be able to talk about these things and to be able to talk about the fact that not all of us are always mentally strong in every moment. So something that we wanted to talk about a little bit was like, if you have issues, if you need an outlet, or if there's something that you don't feel comfortable talking about, a lot of times, like, you could reach out here. We would be more than happy to walk some things through there. But B, it's okay to seek help and to not feel right, because everybody, for the most part, has some shortcomings, and, you know, everybody has bad days, but sometimes your bad days aren't just bad days. They're, you know, a chemical imbalance or, you know, a reaction to some events that have happened to you in the past. And we all go through traumas, but we just want to let you know that whether it be, I mean, us, whether it be your family, a certified professional, like, you should reach out, you should get the help, and you should always be available to other people, because you never know what somebody's going through. And it's important to know that we're all human, we're all in this together. So, like, be your best to one another, because really, you only get about 90 to 100 years on this earth if you're lucky, and you don't want to spend any of that time in the dark and feeling alone like a lot of us do, and like I do on a consistent basis, like Rob does on a consistent basis. Just, you know, feel happy, like, really make sure that you're living the best life that you can with your mental health, because, man, we don't have a lot of time, and we're going to touch a lot more on this, and that's just a slight introduction into something that we're going to be passionate about, something we're going to plug, and that we want you to be able, as listeners, to reach out to us too as well.
Yeah, and what I talked to you about at the golf course when we went last week, that's pretty much the only time I've really actually told anybody about it.
Yeah, being able to vocalize it one time is huge, because it's like a big, you know, you're outing yourself almost as kind of like weaker.
Yeah.
And it's hard to be vulnerable, but it's so important to be vulnerable and to be open and receptive to the fact that people have these issues. So for Rob and I, you know, we're best friends to have this ability to speak to one another about this. And we didn't even know that we had that ability to talk about it until a week ago. It feels a lot better to just know that, hey, if I am having a bad day, somebody's there for me. So I encourage you to reach out and find somebody that is going to be empathetic with you and to find that situation. And like I said, we'd be more than happy to talk to anybody who needed that, or we can help orchestrate that, or just some tips about it. But we will do more as because we're not professionals by any means.
No.
So we don't want to give any poor advice, but we will, you know, orchestrate getting more information about this any way that we can.
Yeah, because that is a topic that needs to be talked about. And I honestly don't think it's talked about enough. The only time I ever really see anything about it, about people having anxieties or anything, is primarily Twitter.
Yeah, and that's weird, because that's, you know, that's not really where you'd expect. But Twitter, you know, there is, with social media, there's a lot of drawbacks, but there's a lot of cool stuff too. But we're going to get there. We're going to do this cool stuff. We got a couple of shout outs at the end and a little bit more of us, you know, little fun side of stuff. Not for Rob, but for me, before we get into that. Tommy Shoemaker, Dialed in Detroit is a group that they're a radio broadcast. They're into big time Detroit sports. He is actually diagnosed with cancer recently. He's already had some health issues in the past that he's conquered. We know he's going to face this headstrong, and he's going to get through this. I just want to let us know from one pod to another content producer that we're thinking of you. We love what you guys do, and we hope you get better. And I'm going to turn it over to Rob with some exciting movie tie-in too.
My shout out is to a cousin of mine out in the state of Colorado, long distance away.
Rocky Mountain High. Oh. That John Denver's full of shit, man.
Oh, God. All right. But his name is Calvin T. Shepherd. I know him as Ty from back when we were young kids.
Fucking boys.
But he, I guess, writes and directs movies out there, made a few of them now, and now his current one that is called Country Mustard now has reached 10,000 views, and I can honestly say, well, I should say his trailer reached 10,000 views, movie's not out yet. I can honestly say I watched it, it looks awesome, and I just want to give a shout out to you, and because I'm proud of you, I'm excited for it, excited to see the whole movie. If you guys want to check him out, his Facebook is just Calvin T. Shepherd, and then his Instagram is at Calvin the Writer.
Calvin the Writer.
And check out his stuff. I'm going to have to say that he knows what he's doing, because his stuff is pretty impressive.
Yeah, so there's a couple things to look out for. You know, a couple things to pray on. I mean, if you're into the T's and P's, tots and P's, you know, I'm not trying to cram Jesus down you, but hey, T's and P's, babe. T's and P's. That's it for today. Another exciting time. We're going to have guests. I know I promised you Joe Foray to start. We had some inconveniences there, but I'm reaching out. I'm hoeing the lines. I'm reaching out there. I'm really making an ass of myself asking these athletes, asking these prominent people, but we're going to get there. I mean,
I'm almost whoring yourself out a little
bit. That's what I'm saying. I'm a hoe, but I don't care. I mean, I'm going to get these folks the content they deserve. So Quandre Diggs, I'm coming for you. Jeff Janis. I've reached out to Jeff Janis. coming for you. Vince Young, coming for you. Anybody with, you know, notoriety. If you want to be a part of the pod, send in your resume. I'll screen it, and we'll see what we can do.
I'll take a brief look at it, but, I mean, you got to have something on there that's going to catch our eye.
You got to be there. Money. No, no. We just want cool people, good vibes. I hope you guys are having a good time with this podcast. Sorry it took so long to get back into it. It's going to be a lot easier because we're going to get this one out on Apple. A lot of you folks with iPhones and all you peasants who don't, I still have a link for you. But we're excited. We're expanding. We're getting some things done. So thanks for coming along for another ride. Hopefully we had less ums. I know we didn't have Waze checking in on us. We're really making strides here. So a couple of shout outs. Really happy to have you. Go follow Dialed in Detroit. Go follow Calvin the Writer. And just excited to have you. Chat with Chatterbox, 3. Here we go. Taking care of business.